The end of the article isn't the end of the story. The Journal podcast goes behind the scenes with reporters and covers everything from the Mormon Church's $100 billion fund to coronavirus. Listen to The Journal on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, August 21st. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal. Online trading has never been easier thanks to a new generation of trading apps. But what are the risks, especially for inexperienced traders?
If traders are just trading because it's fun, it's a neat experience, and it's easy to do, there's a lot of research that has shown for decades now that the more frequently a person trades, the more likely they're going to lose money in the longer term.
We'll talk with our reporter Mike Wursthorn all about it after the break.
So if you ask anyone in the Wired newsroom what's on your mind, here's what some of us are thinking about.
Big tech.
The coronavirus pandemic.
Climate change.
Disinformation and election security.
What policing should look like in the future.
This is Get Wired. And I'm your host, Lauren Good.
Every story about technology is really a story about people.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Get Wired. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some new stock trading apps like Robinhood are making it easier than ever for people to trade. But it's exactly because they're so easy to use that some observers are worried. Our reporter Mike Wursthorn has been looking at some of these apps, and he's with us now. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So Mike, a few weeks ago you were on the show and we talked about the rise of day trading during the pandemic. And since then you've been looking into some other reasons these trading apps like Robinhood are attracting users. What are these apps doing that traditional trading platforms aren't?
So really, Robinhood led the charge in this, but it made trading free. Before Robinhood came along, people were spending, at some points, as much as $10, $20, $30 a trade on commissions. And that just kept getting knocked down once Robinhood came onto the scene. With the other thing that they really also did too is just made trading from a smartphone hugely popular. Before that, people were obviously still using computers. They were relying on just other big infrastructure if they wanted to make trades. Robinhood made trading from a phone possible, easy, and mainstream, really.
Tell us more about how Robinhood works. What's the typical experience like if, say, I execute a stock trade?
On an app like Robinhood, trading, the interface for trading is very colorful. You see bright red or bright green for the stock tickers, depending on whether those shares are up or down. You're getting notifications, you're getting alerts, depending on if the moves are big enough in the app as well. So typically, people's first experience with the app is they get a referral from a friend of theirs. And usually that referral will then lead them through the sign-up process, and they'll get a free share of a stock from Robinhood in this case, but some of the other ones like Webull do the same thing. What that does, though, it's basically a free trial for users. So they have their first taste of stock ownership, their first taste of investing experience through what seems to be a pretty harmless toe in the water. So, one person I spoke with, she got a free share of Macy's. She sold it soon after, but that was one of her first trades. It really gave her some experience to understand how this works. And really, when you're trading on the app, it's a pretty seamless function. So you go from starting the account, getting the free share, to putting a deposit in, to making that first trade. It's all glided through very easily. And to execute, you just swipe up on the screen, a simple swipe up, and your trade's executed. You'll see a little bit of confetti shoot across the screen celebrating the milestone. And the user, starts their journey as an investor.
But what if a user changes his or her mind? How does canceling a trade work?
That's where some of the behavioral experts that we spoke with, especially people that specialize in computer to human interaction, clarified that that's what seems to be a dark pattern. And what that basically means is that there are options put in front of the user that guides them toward a path that's good for the company, but maybe not so good for the user in every instance. In Robinhood's case, and this is also mostly true on Webull as well, which is another popular trading app that came after Robinhood. User, they'll go to confirm the trade. You'll see a swipe up, or you'll see an edit link. you hit that edit link, and then you have a small X that you can hit to cancel the trade. Now, that differs from what you see on, say, Schwab's trading app, which is a lot more bulky, a lot more stodgy, you know, more traditional in a lot of various ways. But one of them is that, you know, when you go to confirm a trade, you see three very clear buttons. One of them is to proceed with the trade. One of them is to cancel the trade. And one of them is to execute the trade. They're all labeled. And it gives the user, you know, just a little more clarity on what their options are before they proceed.
You've talked to some people who trade through Robinhood. What do they say they like about the platform?
You know, between this story and some of the other ones that we've done, we've spoken to dozens of Robinhood users, and a lot of them are really big fans of the app. I mean, one of the things that I think all of them can agree on is that Robinhood made trading easy to understand for them, which is really what Robinhood's goal is. I mean, when you see the when you hear the executives talk on television interviews, or even with us in some of the interviews we've done over the years, they've always spoken about their mission of democratizing investing. And that's where they really seem to connect with users, in the sense that before Robinhood, they may have had no idea how to trade, no idea, you know, what a stock even meant. But Robinhood made that very simple, easy to understand, and it opened up a whole world to them that they otherwise maybe would have never really, you know, had access to before this.
Yeah, but there's also been criticism of Robinhood. What's the concern?
So there's a few different concerns. One of them is that Robinhood obviously doesn't trade any commissions, and that's been really revolutionary in the industry, but the company still makes money on every trade. And that's a conflict of interest, some securities experts have told us over the years. The practice is known as payment for order flow. So basically, whenever anybody enters a trade on Robinhood, that order is then routed through various market makers. And those market makers, they have to, there's certain rules that make sure that customers are getting as close to the best price as possible. But there's a benefit, there's a revenue stream that comes into Robinhood from that. You know, just as an example, Robinhood made about $270 million just in the first half of this year off of that payment for order flow. So commission-free trading does pay off in some aspects. The other criticism I would say is just these nudges that I was explaining earlier in terms of the dark pattern with the with how traders proceed with confirming an order. The idea of a free stock, you know, the confetti animation too as well, where it's celebrating a milestone. These are all slight nudges that might seem like they're just all minor on the at first glance, but really, when you talk to some of these behavior experts, they explain that you know, done as effectively as it is through Robinhood, these could lead people to trade more often, which tends to lead to bigger losses over time for traders, and also to take bigger risks that maybe they otherwise wouldn't have taken before, because trading on Robinhood, you know, is also fun, a lot of users say.
You spoke with a neuropsychologist about how apps like Robinhood influence trading behavior. What did he have to say about it?
The main positive for sure is that Robinhood is a very simple interface. And when you go on apps like Schwab or E-Trade, for example, you see a lot. There's a lot of information being thrown at you. There's a lot of clutter. And it can be very overwhelming for an investor, especially a first-time investor. So having this simple interface, having something that it's easy for a user to jump into and start trading and to get familiar with what they can do with the power of investing in stocks and other types of securities, that's all, you know, very much a positive that some of these experts did discuss. But where the downsides come along is that if traders are just trading because it's fun, it's a neat experience, and it's easy to do, there's a lot of research that has shown for decades now that the more frequently a person trades, the more likely they're going to lose money in the longer term. You know, really, the old adages that you know, Warren Buffett and others, you know, routinely say, you know, in terms of buying and holding securities, you know, the research really does show that is a sure bet way to make money long-term investing.
And what does Robinhood say about all this?
Robinhood says that it's a self-directed brokerage. So what that basically means is that they're not making any recommendations on what users should be buying or selling. They're just laying out all the options in front of them, and that users ultimately make their own decisions. They also made clear to us through you know, several different conversations that from their perspective, that there are differences between gamifying an app and trying to use the latest cutting edge technology to make trading more accessible. So, you know, on points like, say, the confetti, for example, you know, they really do feel that it's worth celebrating the fact that somebody deposited money to make their first trade and then follow through and made that trade. So they feel like that they want to be part, they want to be part of the investor's experience as they grow into the market, and as they celebrate, you know, these various achievements as they go. So, you know, for Robinhood, they look at it all as is that they're moving closer to fulfilling their mission of making sure that anybody who's over the age of 18 can invest, has the opportunity to do so.
Wall Street Journal markets reporter Mike Wursthorn. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner for the Wall Street Journal.